and you ask yourself out loud, where would I rather be? And effectively, what you have done is you have given a code modifier to your subconscious mind. You've given it a question to answer in a proactive, positive way.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Now, we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and it's my honor to be with you here another Friday night. Oh, my gosh. We've walked and rolled right past that 200 mark and off. We're still continuing and so looking forward to more episodes like tonight's. We've got a great guest for tonight, all about mindset. One of the things that if you've been listening to the show for very long, you know, I'm a big proponent of what we think determines how well we get, what we think determines how well we thrive, regardless of what's going on in our life, even whether it's a diagnosis or something else, that what you think determines the majority of what happens to you, at least how you respond to it, I should say. Anyway, tonight's guest is Donna Blevins, and she is the author of the brand new book called Mind Shift on Demand, Quick Life-Changing Tools, How to Shift Out of Fear, Anxiety, Worry, and Overwhelm in an Instant. I love that idea. Anchor yourself in the new reality that leads to profound positive change in your life. And I wanted to have her on because you're like, well, Sharon, what's that have to do with autoimmune? And I'm saying it has everything to do with autoimmune. Once I started to uncover my thinking around my diagnosis and work with that, play with that, explore it, everything changed. So welcome, Donna. Thanks for being on the show.
I am excited to be here, Sharon.
Oh my God. It's an exciting topic. Tell us about the little bit. I was reading your bio here about the history of how you became this mind shift on demand. You've always been a proponent of, you know, thinking and positive thinking, that kind of thing. But how did this mind shift on demand happen?
I have been involved with mind shifting without having the words for it, but I've been involved with it since I was 6 years old. And all throughout my life, I realized that the words we choose set ourselves up for either success or failure. And when I was working on what I thought was the final draft of Mind Shift on Demand, it was Halloween 2013. And I got up from my computer and I'm looking at the screen and I'm like a kid. I'm like a brat. I looked at the screen and I said, I want something that proves my mind shift exercises work. And I want proof now. And I stomped my foot like a kid. And I guess it kickstarted a clock that went to my brain. I had a massive center left brain stroke. And in that moment, the lightning struck. It took me what felt like 20 minutes to fall to the floor, which was only seconds. And when I got to the floor, I went, crap, watch what you ask for. And I was able to get myself up. And my husband and mother were able to get me to a local hospital. I was airlifted to the University of Florida Teaching Hospital. And throughout that journey, on that flight, with all the healthcare teams, they would say, she will never be able to speak fluidly again. Because all I could say was two words. I could say, Donna, and my favorite word, as I mentioned before, crap. And I was able to shift the way I was thinking by going through one of the mind shift exercises I've been using for many years called, isn't that interesting? And detach from it. And I was able to speak not in 8 to 9 months, but in 3 days.
Wow. That is amazing. And that was one of the reasons, you know, one of my favorite things when I do my body language work is, instead of judging what's happening, I always file it in the "isn't that interesting" folder until I have more information around it, until I get confirmation or become to see the patterns or what have you, begin to understand it. But I love the idea of the word "isn't that interesting." It takes all the judgment out of it, including with a diagnosis. Yours, the stroke. Mine, autoimmune. When I first got the diagnosis, my doctor sort of rolled their eyes at me because they were saying, "Oh, get real, you're not accepting the diagnosis." Because I was filing it, "Well, isn't that interesting? Now what?" what was going on in my mind. And I find that that takes you to a different place. So let's talk about this place that we go that allows us to, as I think you said, detach. I've always called it dissociate, but I kind of like the word detach. It's probably a nicer word.
What I had done over the years was craft a way that I could explain it to people, because my coaching clients would say, when I'd say, "Just shift your mindset," they'd go, "Oh," they'd roll their eyes, the eye rollers there. And they'd say, "Well, you know, tell us what it is." And so I realized that the way I understand things, Sharon, is on a very basic, simple level. And I guess if there is a word that I would use, a verb to describe what I do and who I am, it's simplify. And that was what I was able to do, was to simplify the process so that it's so easy a child can do it. And when you bring something up that's giving you all that trauma and all that stress, and you're buying into it, you want to detach from it. And what I always suggest is that whenever you're going through the self-therapy process, you want to rate where you are in relationship to that. Think about the pain scale. 0 is nothing. 10 is awful. So you want to rate it, because you need to have some sort of quantifiable evidence that something's working, because sometimes we just need to see that. We're left brain and right brain people, and it depends on what you need, because there's part of us that always likes to see those numbers. We like that validation. And you rate where you are, notice it, ask it to show itself in your mind's eye. Close your eyes. You know, when you say "show itself," you're going, well, sometimes it's difficult to see a form. And if that's the case, then just give it a name. Because once you ask it to show itself and you're noticing it and looking at it, it is now finite. It has boundaries. It's no longer out there and all around you. It is finite. And when you do that and step back one step from it, you're detaching from it rather than fueling it, because that's what we do when we think about something and talk about something all the time, is we fuel it. You step back from it. You notice it. As you do, it's actually going away for you. It's getting smaller. And you say that, isn't that interesting? And it begins to move away and to dim, to almost diffuse. And when you get to that point of just noticing, then you open your eyes, look up and to the right, and what you're actually doing is accessing the right hemisphere of the brain, the creative part, and you ask yourself out loud, "Where would I rather be?" And effectively, what you have done is you have given a code modifier to your subconscious mind. You've given it a question to answer in a proactive, positive way.
I love that one. "Where would I rather be?" The first thing that came to me, if I was thinking of you on a plane in an airlifted, I was like, on a beach in Bali. So does it work if you get that extravagant with the answer to "where would I rather be"?
Well, oddly enough, it's unnecessary for you to even answer it, because you're giving your subconscious a subliminal task. If you get involved with answering it, you're not allowing the subconscious to modify the code, because we have downloaded everything to our brain. Our subconscious mind is a perfect recorder. It is simply a lousy playback system. It tends to play back things and events that are highly charged with emotions, hence PTSD, and all the trauma. That's what we bring up. But what you want to do is you want to rewrite that subconscious mind, because that is our driver. Our body is our vehicle. Our mind is the driver. And you want to give that subliminal task to the subconscious mind without needing to answer it. It's the way you ask questions.
That's awesome. A question that came up for me was when you mentioned PTSD. There's a lot of research right now around the neurobiology of autoimmune and understanding that past traumas can play into exacerbating autoimmune. I'm curious if we even have to be aware of, I'll put in air quotes, that oh crap moment, like you were of the stroke or I of the diagnosis, but maybe we're just having sort of this unnamed, we're not aware, we choose not to be aware of the past trauma. Somehow we've blocked it out. Can we do some of these processes like, I just have this unnamed feeling and then ask it to have form without knowing what we're doing?
Yeah, it's really fun because you'll be startled sometimes at what pops up in your mind. And even though you go, no, that's not it, just let it be. Just ask it to come forward. Ask it to show itself. Because sometimes you're just feeling, you've just got that dread feeling, that feeling of downness, and you're not sure what's coming from, and just take a few moments. And sometimes it is unnecessary to even define it, because once you become accustomed to going through the simple process of, isn't that interesting? Or you can even say, isn't that funny? Isn't that odd? You can change the adjective so that you can play with it and you have fun with it. But what happens is once you do that, because you only need 40 days to do any patterning. I wonder if that's a word, probably not. You want to take the habit of doing mind shifting over a 40-day period. And it's not an hour a day. I call it the 10-minute-a-day mind shift master plan. Because by doing something in that vein for 10 minutes a day, now, let's face it, is everyone worth giving themselves 10 minutes a day?
Absolutely. I'm curious, do you have to do it all? Does it take a solid 10 minutes, or could it be 5 and 5 or 2, 2, 2, 2, 2?
That's a new thought for me. I'm certain if it were broken up over the day, that would be fine. The key is that whatever you want it to be, do it if you can, at the same time. Set an alarm. There's something about patterning and changing the neuroplasticity of the brain and retraining the brain, because that's what we're doing. We're retraining habit patterns, because everything we do is based on habits.
Absolutely. I'm thinking of what I call, when I get in those moments of catastrophic thinking, I actually relate to, when I stop to unpack it, I actually began to relate it to a particular family member who has the same catastrophic type thinking. And I was like, oh, that's where I learned it from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we learn everything. And when I first heard the concept that our programming and our subconscious mind, because it is our computer, it was primarily programmed before the age of 6. And that's a little frightening, but there's so much in our beliefs and values that are imprinted on us based on the people we know, the people who raised us, the words that we heard, and it's the words. The words are so powerful, because the words that we hear. I was raised strict Southern Baptist, and I rebelled against I was determined to be a missionary and a traditional missionary. And when I went to college, all of a sudden, I did one of those about face, because all of a sudden I said, I just don't like this because it's judgmental. 20 years later, I'm doing that. And all of a sudden I said, I'm being judgmental about judgmental. I've just got to shift away from that.
It's funny how we do that. And I so agree. Words matter. Words completely matter. One of the things that I like to say about don't believe your diagnosis, because what happens is you'll get into that catastrophic thinking of everything the doctor tells you can or will go wrong. They're like those pharmaceutical commercials, you know, where they have that fast-talking guy at the end with all of this dreadful things, and you're like, good sakes, why would you even consider that? And so I'm thinking about how the words that we use, I'll say unconsciously, create what's happening in our reality. So if we catch ourselves using a word over and over, or maybe notice that pattern in our family here over the, you know, as we get to play with this idea, is it just the word that we can be attracted to? And if we change that one word, do other things begin to shift?
I believe that there is that possibility that changing single words or word patterns can shift the way that we live, our perspective. How we change our thinking changes our reality. And one day I was sitting in a real estate office. We had a real estate office for quite a few years, and I'm sitting there waiting for some customers to come in. And all of a sudden I had this odd vision. I thought of people having this bubble around their heads and that was the reality. And they were walking down the street, and all of a sudden I'm going, how in the world would you want to know what the reality was based on the other person? And I was having this daydream kind of fun with it. And I was playing with it, and in my mind's eye, I kind of went over and kind of peeked in somebody's bubble, and I went, oh my goodness, the world is like that for them. And I've oftentimes thought that if we saw what the reality was on all the view screens, now we're talking about a true science fiction, because everyone's perspective is different based on how they were brought up, the words that they say, and the words that we choose. And can you change a word? Possibly could make a huge difference. Because I believe we need to listen to the words. And when they come out and they're self-sabotaging, you need to give yourself some slack. Because after the stroke, I would get frustrated at misplacing words. I have now deleted the words from my vocabulary of forget and forgot. Delete, thank you. And I found that when I would be struggling for a word, all I would have to do is to let it go. Even in front of people, speaking in front of people, even with coaching clients, if a word is misplaced, I'll say, would you please help me find a word? It's wonderfully refreshing that people are so open. And the fact that rather than saying, oh, I can't find that word, I go, please help me find it. It's mislaid. I'll just describe what it is. I've done that in front of 300 people, and they go, oh, that word is. And I'd say, thank you very much. And I keep on going on. And by doing it like that, rather than struggling for it, it becomes an easy way to move forward without getting in that place where you feel like you're stalled.
I'm smiling because I just wrote a blog post about mentioning the elephant in the room, that whether you're a public speaker or whatever, that just mention the elephant in the room and move on. It becomes so much easier. And in your case, it was a misplaced word every so often. And as you pointed out, everybody was cool with it. Oh, okay. That's what we do. One of my things about words that I've always been a word nerd about was things like, am I talking to Donna or I'm talking with Donna? Totally different outcomes, right? Mm-hmm. And the other, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe a little bit longer now, we had Sarah Payton on, who radically shifted my view of anger with one word. And that was, are you angry at? Are you angry at yourself for getting an autoimmune? Are you angry at the doctors for not diagnosing it sooner? Are you angry at the disease? Or are you angry that? And totally took it out of that ouch perspective, that self-critical judgment of other perspectives. Are you angry that it happened? Okay. Complete different shift in my mind, how fast my view of anger changed when Sarah brought that to the show. And that's what I love about your process, is just those tiny little things that people go, well, that's like two letters different, and it made all this change in the world. So share with us some more. It's that we're talking about this idea of being able to shift our mindset by changing, by watching what we say and by viewing it in a different perspective, putting it in that, isn't that interesting file, and becoming more aware of how other people view their view of the world. What are some other tips that you have for us that we can begin to see everything at a greater perspective?
I think one of the things that we need to do is that we need to consciously protect our energy field, because I call this energetic flu that you can get when you are completely healthy and someone comes near you, calls you, you see it on social media, and they're so dark, they are infectious. I mean, have you ever had someone that you care about come in the room and they were so dark, it brought you down?
Oh, absolutely. Made me think of a doctor, actually. who came into the room with the body language and everything of, and gave me the prognosis of what my diagnosis was. And I was like, wow, aren't you just Mary Poppins? I mean, it was like, I had to radically detach, as you say, I radically dissociate from that moment, because while I agreed there was something wrong, I wasn't going to take ownership and have that diagnosis forever and ever. Very critically aware that it's easy, especially of a doctor, someone I like to call white coat authority, to take on what they say as absolute truth, and never ever will it change.
And this energetic flu that you get, oh goodness, when you go into a hospital or to the doctors, around the medicals, I mean, they carry such infection with them because they're in contact. I'm not talking about bacteria or virus. I'm talking about energetic flu. And, you know, we need an energetic vaccine. And I created a concept of actually putting on some armor. I call it putting on the egg, put the egg on. And in fact, people that I've shared these mind shifting exercises with have told me that, isn't that interesting? And the egg are two of their absolute favorites, and they use them all the time. It's a simple process. It is astonishingly simple, because our skin is the largest organ that we have. But does our body stop? Does our energy field stop at the skin? No, it doesn't. The energy field goes out beyond our skin. There are cameras that can take a picture of people, and you can see the auras, they call them Carillion photography, and you can see that energy field. But just imagine that you're going to step into a suit of armor, but I call it a mirrored egg. You're going to put it around yourself, and it's not an egg like the shape of a hen egg. It's the shape that you are. It goes over you and under you, and it completely protects you. It is a mirrored egg, and it reflects only negativity, not back to where it came, because if we did that, we'd create bad karma. It reflects it back to the universe, and it becomes neutralized, perfectly aligned energy. And we allow the positive energy to come through the egg to us, and we embrace that. And in the middle of the biggest crises, if you consciously shore up your egg, now anyone who's listening right now, a replay, if they hear it live, what I want you to know is that even intending to have the egg in this moment, you are installing the egg. And I want you to realize that it can be there with you permanently, but you need to do a check on a daily basis. Really helps, kind of like checking the oil in the car or putting gas in the engine. I want you to take a moment and just think, you know, are there cracks in my egg? You know, just take a moment and think about that, because when we get upset, and we do, when something happens that we're in emotional strife, even the simplest flare of an emotion will crack that egg a bit. And all you need to do is to get conscious of it and repair it. And when I first started doing this, the concept of repairing it was just odd to me. And I was having such a difficult time envisioning it was shiny again. So I went and in my mind's eye got some of that shiny duct tape. I said, okay, I'll just go on the outside and I'll come back. And then I would put it on the outside and it was okay, it was smooth over. And it's kind of now kind of one of those, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, okay, it's smooth now. And when you do that, I think what happens is you're actually coming to that moment of mindfulness. And even a few moments of mindfulness will put you back into that cocoon of peace and calm.
Absolutely. And on that point, let's take a nice few deep breaths as we go into this quick commercial break. Recenter yourself and listen to this, and we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we have Donna Blevins on, and she is the author of Mind Shift on Demand, Quick Life-Changing Tools, How to Shift Out of Fear, Anxiety, Worry, and Overwhelm in an Instant and Anchor Yourself in a New Reality that Leads to Profound Positive Change in Your Life. She's already shared with us, oh my goodness, maybe a half a dozen techniques on how to shift our energy quickly and how to shift our mindset quickly and easily. And I love the idea of the eggshell. I think of it as a great big eggshell. And as you said, a mirrored eggshell. And like I said, I wanted mine to be like shiny gold, you know. So obviously, whatever we conjure up is okay, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's whatever color you prefer. Some people I've worked with have a gold egg, and that's a gold's Nate, because gold also is an abundance color. I like that one. Some people like silver. Some people have a green or bright blue, whatever color you want. But just understand that rather than thinking of a shell, I want you to realize, make it pliable. Think of almost like a space suit or a web or a skin diving suit. Think of something that's flexible. I want you to just remember it's flexible and it moves with you. And it's a great way to do it. But whatever color you want, make it your own, because that's the beauty of this, is that you can customize any of the mind shift exercises to fit you. And that's what I want you to do, is I want them to be yours.
Awesome. That's really great. And one of the things I like about I've always had this, I like to call it a shell, but this shell around myself as well. I was taught that years ago, and there have been times where I've been in situations where I just have had to double spread it, so to speak, add another layer, just like, and it's fascinating to me where you're like in a certain life event where like, I just want this to be just a little bit more impermeable, and how easily that we can just begin to use our creative imagination to create this event in reality. That has always fascinated me, how simple it is and how profound it is all at the same time.
And thank you for suggesting the double layers or the multiple layers. That concept is a new thought to me, and I appreciate it because I learn something every day, Sharon, and I'm grateful to be here sharing this time with you, because anything we accept as a stimulus for learning. And thank you so much for that double layer. I love that. Thanks.
Well, it's always fun to play with these concepts. So we've talked about the use of language. We've talked about being aware. We've talked about being able to detach, make things smaller, and the contagion of energy as well as a protective suit. What are some other things that we can incorporate?
One of my favorites is called Toss the Trash. It has to do with tossing out the mental trash. Have you ever experienced something that's gnawing at you that wakes you up at 3:23 in the morning? Have you ever dealt with that? This one was created in the 70s when I was dealing with that, and I was staying awake, and I would wake up worried about stuff that some things I had control over, others I didn't. But right there at that moment, my best intention was to get some rest. And I had a great experience of being walked through my first meditation in a business situation. I was at a conference, and it was a seminar rather than a conference. I was at a seminar for a week, and it was about real estate, and it was very complex, and there were things that, that left brain stuff, numbers oriented, everything was very detailed, and it was about exchanging. And on the fourth day, bless this man for doing it, he walked us through an exercise. Basically, it was traditional meditation that I understand today. Somebody just asked you to go to a place, maybe out in a field, and he suggested that we walk over the hill. And there's our home, whatever we wanted that home to be. And we walked up the steps into the second floor, and we'd go to the room that was a room of choice. And when I went to that room, I walked into the room, and it was completely empty, except for what was on the wall by the window on the far wall. And it was a beautiful room. I mean, the floor was this beautiful wood floor. It was just gorgeous. Everything about the walls were perfect. It was a large room, but from the door to the window, it was large, but when I started walking towards the window, it only took like 3 steps. It was almost as if as I walked, it got closer. And when I got to this window, I looked over to the right, and there's a roll of garbage bags. And I pulled off a garbage bag, and I said, well, what is this for? And all of a sudden, these words that I had been thinking started coming out of my head. I'm holding the garbage bag, and they're like going in this garbage bag. And I'm going, what a novel concept. Boy, do I like to get rid of those. I said, okay, how about some more? And I shook my head, and there came all these words and all these thoughts that were giving me trouble. And I thought, wow, this is awesome. How about some more? And so I just started thinking about all the things that were causing me trouble. And it was like I was putting them in the garbage bag. I said, okay, that's full. And so I tied it up, and I said, okay, what's going to happen now? And the window was open. And I said, let me try this. So I took it and I threw it out the window. And immediately it became completely vaporized. And so that is the trash room. And it is an astonishing process for me personally, because when anything comes up like that, I say, okay, just go to the room. And I can take a moment, whatever it is that's giving, that I'm finding myself focusing on that is a negativity, I'll just take it, throw it in the garbage bag, tie it up, toss it out, and I'm going, whew, that's great. Comes back up, that's okay. Just take another 30 seconds and go and do it. You can do it in 10 seconds, actually. And it is a fun exercise that is cleansing. It's absolutely therapeutic.
I love that. I love that. I was thinking of several other meditations that you could do. And that's the beauty of the meditation, whether it's a room or a field or a cloud, it really doesn't matter. It's what's important. The imagery is up to you. I love that. And the idea of tossing away the trash, that's great. Now, I'm thinking that sometimes we can begin to have those moments where we're judging our trash. What are some tips that you have? So we're going through this process and we're coming on, well, we did go, isn't that interesting? And then we start to judge our trash, or maybe we haven't forgiven yet and we go, well, maybe I don't want to throw this out just yet. What tips do you have for being able to let go?
It's actually one of the processes that I created for my poker coaching clients, because I've been in the poker industry for over 20 years. And the reason that I like that particular game, the card game, because it is certainly a card game played by people, but it's most importantly a people game played with cards. And poker gave me a place where I could test drive mind shifting exercises in an environment that was finite. You're there only with, you're only competing against the people that are at your table at that moment, regardless of how big a tournament might be. And I was trying to figure out how in the world I could make this simple. And I had a thought and it escaped me. Oh, I know where I was going with that. Do you ever have that ever happen to you when you're in the middle of something, it goes walking away? Okay, come back here. Okay. So the poker concept is one of the biggest problems poker players had is that they refused to let go of a hand. They were in a hand. It might have started out to be the very best hand possible. And then with another card that came, things changed. And one of the biggest strengths in poker is to fold early and to fold often. And one of the things that I had to convince myself to do was to give myself permission to fold, even when you feel like you've had so much invested. And certainly it applies in the poker, but it is so appropriate to talk about in life, because that's one of the biggest problems we have. We allow ourselves to create a problem out of it. It's holding on to something because we're feeling guilty or we're being judgmental. And maybe it's okay to hold on to something and to notice it, think about it, do a little dissection. But give yourself permission to fold. And in that process, the very first step that even with the, isn't that interesting? The very first step before all of that is to forgive yourself. And I actually created a tone. And I had watched one of your shows about the sound of music and how the tones are therapeutic. And I have actually been toning forgiveness for many years, because I would start looking at the word forgive. And all of a sudden, I started playing with it one day, and I would go, forgive, and I would stay on the V, and when I was doing that, tonally, I would find the tone that felt comfortable, and I saw the V turned into birds and flew away, and it was the self-forgiveness. It was very therapeutic, and what surprised me when I was watching the replay of that particular episode of yours is that the tone that I used is the perfect fifth. Is that tone that you get when you take a C and a G, and that was that tone, because when I heard it, I went, that's the tone I use. I never knew it had a term, but that is the, that is the tone that I've used, and that's the tone that is has been very therapeutic for self-forgiveness. But I say to anyone, find the tone that you want, but to forgive. When you do that, what's happening is you're just not thinking self-forgiveness. The key to the mind shift exercises is every one of them has a physicality with it. Rather than just simply thinking it, you're moving and you're creating a mind-body-spirit interface. You're activating that. Because when you're doing something physically along with it, even though it's tiny movements, you're occupying other parts of your brain. And the more you occupy, the better you are at shifting and changing the pathways, rewiring the neural pathways of the brain because the neuroplasticity of the brain.
Oh my gosh, yeah, absolutely. And that was Sharon Karn, everyone from Sound Wellness. She had a great show on about the harmony of healing a couple of weeks ago. You can catch it over at understandingautoimmune.com or understandingautoimmune.com/YouTube. Awesome. I suggest watching it in YouTube. There is something about being able to see it as well. It was an awesome show. And one of the things that fascinates me is just in talking about the process, I'm listening, but I'm also beginning to feel slight shifts.
As if, are you?
Yes, as if things are changing without consciously sitting here doing the process.
Oh, thank you. I just have chills. Thank you.
I think that's fascinating how I'm sort of running another tape going, isn't that interesting? Things are shifting already. And I haven't even consciously worked the process. That's so fascinating. While I contemplate that a little bit, we need to take another quick commercial break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more about from Donna and Mindshift on Demand.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon. And of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're talking about Mind Shift on Demand, quick life-changing tools with the author, Donna Blevins. And, you know, this is so fascinating to me about quick and easy ways that we can shift out of fear, worry, anxiety, overwhelm. And in her tagline, she talks about working in an instant. And before we left for the commercial break, I started to notice changes happening for me, even though I am just listening to what Donna is sharing with us here. And so, Donna, share with us a little bit more. Have you had that experience where people are just listening, not consciously doing the process, and things begin to change?
Yes, I have experienced that. People have told me that they just feel better. And I think one of the reasons that is as well, and let me share that with you, is that before I do any session, if I'm in a coaching session, before I do a webinar, before I do a broadcast, before I'm honored to be a guest on your wonderful show, I set an intention that I'm going to connect virtually with anyone within the sound of my voice. And my intention is to share the concept that we can shift the way we feel with the tiniest movements. And I want you to feel that. And that is my intention. And I believe that setting that intention has been part of creating a success. Because when I was working with, or when I have worked with left brain, the people that are left brain, only numbers, logical people that have the belief that none of this stuff is going to work, they still go through the shifting and they feel so much better. So it works even when they disbelieve.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of the power of intention. In my other world where I teach conflict resolution and communication skills, the first step is set your intention of what you want to have happen. All right, is it about creating compliance or is it about creating cooperation? Is it about creating change? Is it about the relationship? And I find that so helpful when I set the intention, and they don't have to be that deep of an intention, guys. You can just have a very simple intention as well, but set the intention of how you want the outcome to be. That when I got my diagnosis, I set the intention that it's kind of a backwards intention. Instead of setting the intention looking backwards at it now, about getting well, as I set the intention of I'm going to prove you wrong. As in the you, meaning the medical professional who told me the diagnosis, my intention was, yeah, no, not me. I'm going to prove that wrong. And I think for whatever reason, that set the tone. And what was fascinating to me was I had then later said to her, I'll be fine in 3 years. And it was 3 years and 2 months. And I was like, darn, why didn't I say I'd be fine in like 3 days?
And I believe it has a lot to do with that intention. Setting an intention is huge. When I was working with a man who was going to compete in a big tournament, big poker tournament in Atlantic City, I was on a radio show where I said, I will coach extemporaneously poker players. I'll do 3 poker players in an hour that I have never met before. Don't know their name, don't know who they are. Don't want them to be one that you would know because of media. I wanted them to be someone unknown to me because I wanted to go through this in a way that was in the moment and see what we could do in relationship to that. It was an exciting experience for me. My husband told me I was a crazy woman for doing something like that, but it turned out to be terrific. And this man said that he was going to Atlantic City for his next bad beat. And in the game of poker, bad beat means you had the very best hand. There's only one or two cards that could beat you and you were beaten. So they call that a bad beat, but most people would just whine about everything. And he was going on like that. And I said, wait, you have set an intention to go collect your bad beat. You need to reframe your intention. He had never even heard of the word intention in that respect. And he said, I don't understand. We went through the concept of setting an intention. And so I helped him to craft a few simple words for an intention. And I want to let you know that I got word from him the following week. He went to compete in this tournament, and he came in first place. He won.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And I love the idea of reframing our words. Oftentimes, I've heard of people say words like, they are a pain in the rear, or that is a pain in the neck, or something along those lines. And true story, for a long time ago, I had a shoulder pain that just wouldn't go away. Couldn't figure out, you know, x-rays, everything, nothing wrong. One time I went in to see a friend of mine, massage therapist, known her for years. First thing out of her mouth is, well, if we'll just take that knife out of your back, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And so it's so interesting to me how even in using the bad beat language was creating his reality. Now, I hadn't been thinking there was a knife in my back, or I hadn't been saying there was a knife in my back, but I'd been thinking it. I hadn't really verbalized it like sometimes people say, "Pain, that person's a pain in my rear." But it's fascinating to me how often the words we use show up in our body.
Oh, absolutely. And but I'm having this pain in my neck or my shoulders, you're talking about that. And then I go, okay, now I have the awareness to go, whoa, wait a minute. What is it that you're feeling like? Oh, you're feeling like you're carrying too much of the load. Well, let's, you know, release some of that. Or, you know, maybe you need some help. My mother is 92, and I have been her caregiver since 2002. I am blessed that she has been with us and sharing our home since 2002. And let me take that back, because I rather than being her caregiver that long, in 2002, during one of our daily conversations, because my husband, I met him over 30 years ago, and he insisted that I have a daily phone call with my mother. That was way before the cell phone days. And I said, what do you mean? He said, no, you have to make contact with her every day. And I resisted, but I finally did it, even though our conversations sometimes were 15 seconds, but at least we made that contact. And mother said to me that she wanted me to, she said, something's bothering you. You need to pray about it and figure out what it is. And I said, I don't need to pray about it, Mama. Nothing's wrong with me. She said, no, there's something really bothering you. And on one of our daily conversations the next week, I said, Mom, I know what's bothering me. And she said, what? And I said, I really would like for you to come and share our home with us now so that we can get to know each other as adults and become friends as adults before it becomes necessary for us to live together because of health reasons. And the following week, she said, why don't you fly up and we'll bring my car down. She never said, I'll move in with you. She said, fly up and I'll bring my car down. And that was 16 years ago.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, she's huge. She's wonderful. And that has been really therapeutic, because I, as it becomes my role has changed and it's become necessary to be a caregiver. She had two falls this year, broke two concussions and broke two ribs, but she's doing very well. But I had to really slip into that position. And I realized I was feeling this pressure on my shoulders and my neck. And I said, okay, I need to get a virtual assistant. I knew that I needed to have someone to take care of a lot of the stuff that I was doing in the business. And it has been a huge relief for me to finally say, okay, figure out how to get that done. And it's been very helpful.
Oh, yes. And there's always ways to figure out what's going on and taking a moment to explore, like Donna has shared with us tonight. We're just about out of time, Donna. This time has just flown by. This is so fascinating to me. I appreciate everything you've shared. What final thoughts do you have? And then share with the audience how to get the book Mind Shift on Demand, as well as to learn more about you and your amazing work.
Well, thank you. And you can find me a couple places on the internet, but mindshiftondemand.com is the book site. And the simplest thing to do is to go there. You can opt in for a 4-minute audio, which has the, isn't that interesting? And it walks you through the process, and download it, because it's, I wanted to make it condensed and make it easy. Take it with you. And what I want you to understand is that it is simple. It is easy to do. The book's in print and Kindle on Amazon, And I'm excited because it's been in the top 100 in sports psychology for the past year in Kindle. Awesome. So I'm really delighted with that. What I'd like to leave you with today is that when you're listening to the words that come out of your mouth, and, you know, sometimes it's hard to retract them when they're out and you don't want to, in the middle of sentence, I know that even today, seldom does, but sometimes it will, words will come out that will that are sabotage, self-sabotage words. Something comes out and you're going, oh, who said that? But just let it go ahead and come out. And when you say whatever that sentence is, at the end of the word, at the end of the sentence, I want you to tack on two perfect words. Until recently. And it is absolutely cancels what it is that you've just said and puts you in. When you say that, it is so uplifting. It's self-forgiving, uplifting, and mind-shifting in two simple words.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Donna, for sharing that. It brought to mind the opposite of that. I had not heard until recently. That's awesome. I've used a phrase where if someone asks you if you can do something, and maybe you're like, it's a big promotion or a big chance, instead of just saying no, just go, not yet. And so it's as simple as that. These little tiny reframes of our language is so powerful. So I like that. Until recently.
I call them word shifts.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Thank you so much, Donna, for being on the Autoimmune Hour. Everyone will have her website and other information over at understandingautoimmune.com for you. And have a great week. We'll see you next Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Enjoy.
The information provided on lifeinterruptedradio.com is for educational purposes only. What you hear, read, and see on Life Interrupted Radio is based on experience only. The information presented here should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and/or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.